Hello, it's Monday, 18th of October. I'm Gary Bowerman. On today's show, we kickstart a new season entitled Destination 2022. We begin in South Korea, and I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Jaeon Choi in Seoul. So, let's get started. This is the Southeast Asia Travel Show. Hello, wherever you are in the world, and thanks for listening in. So today we're kicking off a new series of podcasts called Destination 2022, which will analyze the current outlook in places that are likely to be hot tickets for Southeast Asian travelers as borders start to reopen. And where better to start than South Korea, where the nation's brilliantly packaged mix of K-pop, K-drama, K-cuisine, and K-beauty, plus its very, very smart destination video marketing, have kept it top of mind for the region's youthful travelers. So firstly, let's welcome back Dr. Jaeon Choi to the show. Jaeon wears several hats. She teaches tourism studies at the University of Swansea and is visiting professor at the School of Hospitality and Tourism at Hue University in Vietnam. She is also my partner in crime on the monthly Asia-Pacific Travel and Tourism Report, which we produce together. And our most recent edition in September was all about where else? South Korea. So, Jaeon, thanks very much for coming back onto the show. How are you doing today? And how are things right now in Seoul?
Hi, Gary. I'm doing great. Thanks for inviting me to my favorite travel show again. Today, we have about 1,600 cases in South Korea. But as vaccination has sped up, the government is looking into easing social distancing restrictions quite soon. Very exciting. And possibly they're looking at November 1st for easing social distancing restrictions, which is earlier than we expected. So there's some happy mood here, finally.
Yeah, well, that's great to hear. We've got plenty to pack into the next 30 minutes. So let's start by diving in. You mentioned there the current case numbers. South Korea has generally managed the pandemic pretty well, but a vital thing for the next phase is vaccinations, whether that's particularly for inbound travel. So what's the current situation in South Korea? Because it has sort of developed quite fast.
Yeah, so as of October 9th data, based on according to the Korea Disease and Prevention Agency, 68.7% of population over 18 years old have been fully vaccinated. So, which is quite high, right? 68 and 59% for overall population. And they're trying to achieve to meet 70% by next weekend, October 23rd. Then after that, I'm sure they will ease all kinds of restrictions, including travel restrictions for inbound.
Yeah, so they're looking to hit 70% by October the 23rd. I was looking on the Korean Times this morning. It said there's some discussion that once it hits 80%, then pretty much all restrictions will be lifted, even mask wearing. Is that likely to happen this year, do you think?
80%? I don't know, but like even we reach 80% not wearing mask, I don't know about that. Actually,
that would be a psychological issue, I guess, for people, not just the actual physical legal limit.
Yeah, that's true. I still feel secure to have a wear mask and being around people wearing masks. So if anybody and people not wearing masks, I would feel suddenly uncomfortable.
So the current situation, Jaeon, is people wear masks everywhere, in the streets, indoors, in shops, in restaurants?
Yeah, basically everywhere outside their home. I'm in this meeting room right now, I mentioned to you. I'm still wearing a mask inside the meeting room where I'm sitting alone, but they'll charge a high fine if I don't wear, so I'm just wearing it while talking here.
So it's great to be talking about South Korea, and this new series, Destination 2022, it's going to focus mostly on inbound and domestic travel and the outlook for Southeast Asian travelers going to those destinations next year. But South Korea is such an interesting market because the outbound travel has continued, particularly over the summer, hasn't it? There was a lot of outbound activity from South Korea. And that's quite interesting because as South Koreans themselves have been traveling, you know, when foreign travelers come into the country, there may be less of a difficulty than perhaps in some other countries where we haven't seen international travelers for maybe 2 years. So what sort of trends have you been seeing about outbound travel in recent months? And what are the booking trends ahead for the winter?
Definitely Europe, because people having visiting Europe since the summer, because we didn't have a choice to go to South East Asia because their borders are closed. And popular destinations have been France, Switzerland, Spain, Italy, and Czech Republic. But traditionally, people would go to shopping and, you know, go to famous attractions. But during pandemic, people have changed their behavior. So South Koreans have been engaging in mountain walks, hiking tours in Switzerland and France. And there is definitely growing interest in winery tours to small towns in France, which is quite interesting. But obviously, red wine consumption, also white wine consumption, has been skyrocketing in South Korea. So they kind of affect their travel choices now. So they like to go to wineries in France.
That's interesting. So there has been a lot of travel activity over the summer. Now, what are the actual rules? So South Koreans are able to travel. Do you have to do a quarantine when you come back?
We used to, but not anymore now. So once you're fully vaccinated, when you come back, you don't need a quarantine. And that's how I got back to Seoul after being in UK for a while. So you don't need the quarantine if you're vaccinated. For Koreans.
For Koreans. But okay, we'll come to other nationalities in a moment. So that's what happened over the summer. Europe was definitely popular. That's where the bookings were made. But where are we looking over the coming months, sort of looking ahead through to Lunar New Year?
This is interesting because people have been booked to Europe and Hawaii, Guam and Saipan so far. But since all the Southeast Asian destinations like Singapore, Malaysia, and Bali are reopening, I'm sure this will change. But according to September data, people have been booked to Madrid, Spain, Switzerland, Netherlands, France, Hawaii, Turkey, and Guam and Saipan. And Saipan, we have a travel bubble, right? And Saipan, you cannot book to Saipan anymore because all seats and tours are booked till end of this year. So Saipan has been hugely successful. But I haven't heard so much about like booking for Singapore, Bali, and Malaysia. But next month, I'm sure I can update you, Gary.
Yeah, sure. So there's a sort of two different trends there that you're mentioning: Madrid, Zurich, Amsterdam, Paris for the winter. Obviously, they're European destinations. It will be cold. But then you also mentioned there you've got some destinations like Guam, Saipan, the Maldives, and Hawaii. Who's traveling to which places? Are all Koreans going to different places, or are there particular segments that are going to the sort of Hawaii or the Guam type travel trips?
I think honeymooners are definitely going to Hawaii, Guam, and Saipan. And solo travelers and families are going to Europe. So that's kind of that's kind of clear segment. But one thing I really wanted to mention was compared to August, in September, Madrid booking, Spain booking went up 625%. That's quite crazy.
Is there a reason for that? Was there a particular promotion or was there any reason why it just suddenly skyrocketed?
I think because people in 30s and 40s are fully vaccinated in September. And that's the reason, I think, the vaccination. Because they don't have to quarantine when they come back. So they're being very active in booking to Europe now.
And are people booking package tours or are they just booking flights? Or what kind of trips are they taking?
I think still like young people under 40s are traveling independently, but people over 50s prefer a package tour because of the, you know, language barriers, and they're a little bit less confident when they're in Europe and things. But according to Hana Tour, one of the biggest travel agencies in Korea, they said even package tour programs are kind of like changing. They don't have fixed trip itineraries anymore. They have a kind of individualized programs throughout the package tour. So that's kind of changing too. So part of the tour, you have to do everything with the group, but the part of the trip, you can do individual things. So I think that tradition is changing.
So that's, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, South Korea has been over the last few months the most interesting outbound market within Asia Pacific. But getting back to inbound travel, at the moment, what are the situation for foreign travelers coming to South Korea? Because they can arrive, can't they? But there are some restrictions when they do arrive.
Yeah, they've been always welcome, but still they need to have a 14-day hotel quarantine at a government designated hotel. So I'm sure that's been a huge turnoff for foreign travelers. But from November 15, vaccinated Singaporeans don't need a quarantine. That's kind of first arrangement, I think, for Korean inbound tourism. And we really eager to welcome Singaporean tourists from November 15. And I haven't heard so much about easing travel restrictions and the quarantine requirement for inbound travelers. But once we hit again 70% of a full vaccination, I'm sure government will consider easing these restrictions, I imagine.
Yeah, that seems to be the trend. Certainly, that's what we've seen here in Malaysia recently. The quarantine requirement was cut from 14 days to 7 days. Singapore as well is opening these vaccinated travel lanes, which you mentioned. South Korea is one of those. That kicks off in the middle of November. That's pretty exciting, because that's a connection between Southeast Asia and Northeast Asia. So we'll be all interested to see how that one works. Let's just take a little bit of a step back and look at who was traveling from East Asia to South Korea in 2019, before the pandemic. And South Korea was really emerging as a hot destination for the region's travelers for, you know, a lot of these reasons of K-pop, K-culture, K-beauty was really attracting more Southeast Asians to come. South Korea attracted 17.5 million visitors in 2019. China, Japan, and Taiwan were the top three inbound markets. But three Southeast Asian countries, Thailand, Vietnam, and Philippines, each contributed over 500,000 visitors. And 408,000 visitors from Malaysia. So there was strong traffic from this part of the world to your part of the world, Jaeon. So we mentioned there, Jaeon, that Singapore is an early mover for South Korea. There will be this two-way vaccinated travel lane between South Korea and Singapore starting on the 15th of November. It's quite a big deal in this region. There's a lot of talk about it. But what's the discussion in South Korea? Is there a lot of media discussion about what this could bring?
Yeah, I see much coverage on media and discussion on travelers' blogs about Singapore. I haven't heard any actual booking rates yet, but I read lots of exciting comments about going to Singapore. And even honeymooners who used to look at Jeju, Guam, and Saipan, they are now looking at Singapore. So I'm sure people will start booking to Singapore for November time.
And what is the feeling about Singaporeans coming to South Korea? Is there any talk about bookings being made, or that hotels are looking forward to, you know, a boost in their trade?
I haven't seen the actual booking because the announcement was just made. But people are, and travel agencies are expecting Singaporeans are coming to Korea. And they're very confident that Singaporeans like to come to South Korea because of, again, K-pop and K-beauty and K-food. So hopefully.
And South Korea is also on Bali's approved list for entry into Bali. We've seen that Bali is actually officially back open at the moment. There aren't any flights into Bali yet, but it is looking to develop that over the next couple of months or so. Is there any discussion in the media about South Koreans going to Bali?
Yeah, that's interesting. I was kind of trying to look at the stories, but there's definitely more excitement about Singapore, but less for Bali, because Bali still requires quarantine and we have to stay at the government-designated hotels in Bali. That's a huge turn-off for South Koreans. And Singapore, only 6 hours, Guam and Saipan, 4 hours, Europe, 11 hours. So people don't like to go to Bali for 7 hours flight and quarantine. But I don't think there's much interest yet for Bali. And people also have this perception that Singapore is safer. So people still, I think, prefer to go to Singapore in November and December time.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Now, that safety factor, I think, is going to really emerge as a strong USP for certain destinations as we go forward, particularly those that have hit and surpassed their vaccination thresholds. So beyond Singapore, let's take a closer look at how South Korea is actually promoting itself for next year, because it's already getting quite active. It's actually making some moves to promote the country, particularly in Southeast Asia, also in India as well. What are you feeling about what's happening in South Korea's presentation to the world? Are we starting to see more promotions happening?
Yeah, definitely. They're utilizing soft power very well with BTS, Blackpink, and Squid Game, as we talked about. So I think they're utilizing this K-pop and entertainment culture very well. And there's much like energy and excitement here in South Korea to attract inbound travelers using this K-pop, K-drama, and K-food. And I recently read this article that even American tourists like to go to Jeju because it was mentioned in Squid Game. So I think there's much promotion using Squid Game, I think. which is smart.
It's absolutely true. The Netflix world number one show already. It's massive here in Malaysia. Everybody is talking about Squid Game. And you're starting to see cafes open up that are Squid Game. There's a lot of speculation that when it comes to Halloween, there'll be people wearing Squid Game costumes. It's really big here in Southeast Asia. So that's certainly an element that's kept South Korea in the news during the pandemic. But you're absolutely right. The soft power is so important in tourism marketing these days, and bands, particularly BTS and Blackpink, they've been involved in huge marketing campaigns across Southeast Asia over recent months. BTS was involved in a big McDonald's campaign. Blackpink was promoting Pepsi. And, you know, these have kept those bands, but also the country in people's minds. Everybody's been locked down, so they've been watching a lot of Korean movies, Korean TV shows. And these are forming part of how South Korea actually presents itself as a destination.
Yeah, and I also heard Incheon has this plan. They'll build a K-entertainment village near the airport. So I think they have a much hope and expectation to have inbound travelers because of this K-pop culture. They'll be interesting to see.
And also the Dubai World Expo, which started at the beginning of this month. I think the Korean pavilion is the fifth largest of all the pavilions at the Dubai Expo. And it has a big focus on culture and entertainment. And I think it's also got a K-pop center, so they'll actually be hosting concerts there. You know, so that will really tap into markets in Middle East, but also people who are attending the Dubai World Expo. That's quite an interesting thing. And there's also reading coming up soon is the ITB International Travel Show, which normally takes place in Singapore. And Seoul has been promoting itself there. Interesting the way that Seoul is promoting itself through ITB, and this is the phrase that it uses. Seoul is a city made famous by the new generation of music influencers, world-class events, and an endless selection of tourist spots and street food. Is that something you would have picked up on?
Oh, street food. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't really, you know, see much street food, but yeah. But I think because of K-drama and Squid Game, I think that kind of comes back to Koreans, even the street food, the old memories and old things. And Gary, there is a Squid Game Center in Seoul. So if inbound travelers come to Seoul, they can actually do all the games at this game center. I think they'll be popular.
That will be hugely popular, definitely, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Another interesting aspect that I think South Korea has been at the forefront of before the pandemic, but certainly have been pushing in recent weeks, is night tourism, really focused on their night attractions, particularly in the city of Seoul. And so you look at BTS has just done a new video promotion for the city of Seoul, mm-hmm. and a lot of it is shot at night. So it's actually showing how visitors that come to Seoul don't just have to go to bars or to restaurants. There's shopping, there's special night walks, night tours. Most of the landmarks and attractions are open. So it's quite interesting how Seoul, I think, will be one of the cities that will really promote the night tourism market. This is happening quite a lot in China as well. And I think this is quite an interesting aspect, particularly during summer months, because it gets very hot. And so obviously at night, it's a little bit cooler. But also Asian travelers are particularly looking for new things to do at night rather than just sit in a bar or a restaurant. So I think that could be a very positive way to promote Seoul.
Yeah, it's absolutely really exciting as a Korean person.
And another thing, you were talking about soft power. Some Korean words have made it into the Oxford English Dictionary.
Yeah, right before the Korean alphabet day, which was interesting. There's 26 words, right?
Was it 26 words? Have just been inaugurated into the new edition of the Oxford English Dictionary. And some of those are based around culture movies, aren't they?
Yeah, like mukbang and things, yeah.
Which means what? What does that mean?
Mukbang means you eat food on social media and show how to eat Korean street food and things. And it's so popular in, I think, Southeast Asia as well. And people copy that, how to eat.
I mean, that's an interesting aspect as well, isn't it? Is food. Korean food is hugely popular across Asia. So people love to come. And I was noticing that in Singapore, some of the marketing at the moment by the Korean Tourism Organization, is focusing on themed cuisine. So not just saying, come to Korea and eat food. So they're looking at like dessert cafes, a particular itinerary for people who like to go to dessert cafes. There's also another itinerary for K-food in K-drama. So looking at some of the Korean foods that are consumed in drama series. So I thought that was quite a nice take, rather than just saying, come and eat our food. You know, you can actually show it and present it in different ways.
Yeah, so I think Korean drama producers care so much about like food these days in the drama, besides the stories.
So moving from inbound tourism to domestic travel, now, obviously most countries in the region, that's all we've been really able to do for a year and a half now. Slightly different is people have been traveling overseas for recent months, but a lot of people have still been traveling domestically. What are some of the trends that you've been seeing, Jaehyun?
Obviously camping and car camping. So people are using more caravans more and they just camp there and, cooking their own food and more hiking. And people are traveling to like small rural towns that has become a trend during the pandemic. And people are visiting places, like nearby their home for short, like day trips, for mental healing. And they explore trending dining venues they picked up from social media. That's really huge. But at the same time, so there's a small segment going for longer one month stay travels in remote and quiet areas in Jeju or Gangwon province. So that's been quite popular. And also there is a new trend, people travel with pets. So that's been popular too. So many accommodations and hotels facilitate for people staying with pets. And I mentioned this in our report 2 weeks ago. There's a huge trend for solo travel. Obviously, over 43% of people in 30s in Korea are unmarried and they're not interested in getting married and they rather travel. So that has been a big trend in Korea. Even domestically, they've been traveling alone and lots of hotels and tour programs kind of develop with it for solo travelers. So when we start doing more outbound travel, maybe Southeast Asian destinations or other destinations must consider this segment. This is a huge lucrative segment, I think, solo travelers. And they're not exactly budget travelers. They like to spend money on themselves. So I think this is something to kind of focus on in the future for destinations.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. That's something we're also seeing in China, huge, huge growth in solo travel. So yeah, those are things that destination marketers really, really need to tap into.
Yeah, and I think they're the one who been to Europe now since the summer, they just go solo traveling to Europe because they don't have much risk.
Do they tend to travel for longer periods or are they still traveling? Because Koreans don't have a huge amount of paid leave time, do they?
No, on average 8 days in 2019, so not very long, but some of them take a break between jobs and they do like a longer travel and they're the solo travelers for 1 month and 2 months in Europe. And I mentioned this earlier, but the wine consumption has been just crazy in Korea during the pandemic. I heard from the biggest supermarket, E-Mart in Korea, they said compared to last year, wine actually sales went up 38%, 37.6%. So they're actually having this wine festival now. So there's discounted wine. I will go after this. But there's been huge, huge wine consumption. And again, that links to Koreans to go to winery tours in France and possibly Italy in the future.
Interesting. So of that wines, the wines that Koreans are buying at home, is that mostly European wines or is it Australian, Chile? And where are they buying?
They said, I think most popular wines are from France and Chile. So those two have been most popular according to their data.
So there's another marketing trick there, winery tours and the backstory of wine production is something that could be developing.
Wine pairing with Korean food has been huge as well.
That's an interesting theme because that's quite tricky. Pairing wine with Korean food is not easy, right?
I would think so, but Koreans traditionally prefer red wine. But now they learn more about wine with food pairing. They found that white wine and champagne go better with Korean food, spicy food and sashimi and things. So they start consuming more white wine these days and bubbles. So that's a new trend as well. And obviously they want to go to these provinces in Europe to find out and learn more about the wine. So I think in the next 5 years or so, winery tours will be a really some lucrative niche from South Korea.
And if travelers come to South Korea, is wine expensive in South Korea?
Not really. If you go to a supermarket, Chilean wine, good red wine, $15, $15 US dollars. So it's not not very expensive. It's becoming cheaper and cheaper.
And so you've mentioned some interesting trends there, obviously solo travel, traveling with pets, wine consumption, so wine tours as well. But one of the interesting aspects of the Korean travel market is the importance of blogging and social media trends and influences, isn't it? Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, Gary, even all these informations are from actually bloggers. If you go to naver.com, which is equivalent to Google for South Korea, but Koreans don't use really Google. As everybody knows, everybody uses Naver, naver.com. So if you go to their blog pages, all kinds of very, very, very detailed informations are out there. So Koreans, if they plan to travel, they don't actually go to any other website. They go to Naver blogs and also vlogs. And there's so much information, so much detailed information. So that's one of the most popular kind of information source for Koreans when they plan travel. And of course, they all post their own stories after their travel as well. And that's where I get all the information for, you know, travel trends. And
it's interesting because you mentioned, I think before when we were talking, that actually in the media, I mean, it's probably changed a little bit during COVID-19, but the media doesn't really tend to analyze travel that much in South Korea, I think you told me before.
Yeah, that has been really challenging for me because I want to read, you know, the official newspapers that have official data, right? But they always have a kind of like short report, one paragraph, two paragraph. There's a travel bubble. There's a, you know, this amount of people went. And there's no more further analysis by journalists, which is quite interesting. So if I go further to travel bloggers' pages, they have a really critical and detailed analysis and information and follow-ups. And that's why they prefer to read their pages, which is a bit unique, right?
And so Koreans use those blogs as well for traveling in their own country to get tips and ideas and videos, sort of clips about new places or kind of hot destinations.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Naver blogs, that's the way.
Okay, so that brings us to our final part, Jae, and I'm going to ask you now, I'm going to put you on the spot. If travelers from Southeast Asia are looking to come to South Korea, either later this year, if we're able to, or next year, where are going to be the hot destinations?
Okay, you should go to Jeonju, not Seoul. I mean, I'm from Seoul, so no offense to Seoul. But Jeonju, if you're a foodie, so if you're interested in traditional Korean food, Jeonju is the spot. Because that's all my favorite Korean food is from. And also, if you go to Jeonju, you can stay at the at a traditional style of Korean home. So it's more interesting than staying in a Western-style hotels. So you can actually experience traditional Korean culture and food. And it's much cheaper there than Seoul. And yeah, so I would totally recommend Jeonju. That's only 2 hours from Seoul by KTX. And of course, Jeonju is a part of the BTS pilgrimage. So I would definitely recommend.
It's part of, tell us more, what's the BTS pilgrimage?
Obviously, there's a several BTS pilgrimages route in South Korea, and Jeonju is one of it.
This is the Korean Tourism Organization has created special routes, hasn't it? Where there are destinations that are featured in BTS videos. Often some of them are beaches or nature spots. And they've actually created itineraries for some of these. Is that right?
Yeah, and it's called actually BTS Pilgrimage. So interesting.
So that's one. Jeonju, you've mentioned there. I'm guessing Seoul is going to be very popular just simply because of the promotion that it gets. Seoul is going to be a popular destination. What about Jeju?
Oh, Jeju definitely as well. There's beautiful beaches and more relaxing than mainland. So yeah, Jeju, interesting spot as well. But you just have to take a flight from mainland. That would be extra work. But yeah, Jeju would be beautiful destination for a holiday.
And from Seoul, the flight to Jeju is, how long does that take?
1 hour from Gimpo.
And it's a completely different destination in many ways, isn't it? I've been to Jeju. It's absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's a volcanic island. It's quite dramatic, some of the scenery. It's actually where a lot of Korean TV shows are shot because it has this sort of dramatic beauty, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
And some famous fruits, I think.
Yeah, the big orange, right?
That's what I remember when I went there, these giant oranges.
And they make tea out of it, and they make out of bakeries and rice cakes out of it. So that's kind of Jeju's specialty.
So Jaehyun, thank you so much for your time. Thanks so much for your insights into Korea, which really is such a fascinating market because it has everything at the moment. It has inbound, outbound, some very, very interesting domestic trends. And it is going to be a very, very hot destination for Southeast Asian travelers next year, for absolutely for sure. The only standing block really is removing that quarantine so that when travelers come to South Korea, they can hit the ground running and enjoy their trip. So that brings us to the end of episode one of our new Destination 2022 series. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And don't forget to send us your thoughts and your comments on what we discussed about South Korea with Jaehyun or anything that we missed out. Drop us an email at hello@theseasiatravelshow.com or message us on our LinkedIn page at the Southeast Asia Travel Show, or on Twitter, SEA Travel Show. Meanwhile, you can catch up with the Southeast Asia Travel Show's full back catalog on our website, www.theseasiatravelshow.com, or on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Podchaser, Castbox, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, and Amazon Music. Just search for the Southeast Asia Travel Show on each app. So that's a wrap for today, but I'll be back on Tuesday when I'll be talking to Melina Caruso and Simona Chimenti of the Bali Hotels Association as we take a closer look at the reopening outlook in Bali. We hope to see you then.